It's time to get away from it all. Doesn't matter if you say you or y'all. Let's all get out there and have some fun. Bluff City Outdoor Show is for everyone. Welcome to the Bluff City Outdoor Show.
Thank you, Perry Woods, and indeed, welcome to the Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Birthday week here at the radio station. Thank you so much for being with us again this weekend here on the Bluff City Outdoor Show. I'm Tony Colombo in studio with producer Leah and my partner, Mark McMurray, the owner of Bluff City Outdoors. Great to see you, buddy.
It's good to be back.
Thank you. Thank you and everybody. We've been saying this all week long. The radio station turned 2 years old this year, which is crazy. And it's been an awesome ride. And we wouldn't be here without all the support of folks like you, Mark, and all the advertisers, all the listeners, all the supporters of the station. So it's been an awesome birthday week. We had a great birthday party on Thursday night out at Johnny's Hideout in High Ridge, and a lot of fun this week, and thanks.
Yep. Oh, yeah, yeah. This is just it's a great thing to do. I enjoy it immensely.
Yeah, yeah. And I love that we brought this show here to this station, and it's one of the great things that, you know, we do a lot of new, obviously, we do news and talk and issues all week long. But we do a lot of other things here on News Talk STL, and having the Bluff City Outdoors show is a perfect example of that. Also in studio with us, speaking of the party, Mike Marfell was at the birthday party on Thursday night. Great to see you, buddy.
Good to see you. May or may not have drank too many, what were those that Vicks drink? Stolen Thunder.
The Thunder Stealer.
Thunder Stealer,
Thunder Stealer.
I don't need that much Red Bull. After number three, my wife said, you need to switch to your regular whiskey, just straight whiskey. You're going to be wound up.
So. Yeah, Johnny's Hideout is amazing. It's the first time I had been there, and I'd seen pictures and all of that and heard about it and, you know, knew it was an awesome place. But seeing it in person, and then there's the part of the restaurant that's called the Speaker's Corner, named after Tim Jones, and then they have a menu item called the Thunder Stealer, named after Ken Williams. It's like what a cool,
it was great,
fun place.
It is cool.
Yeah, it was
awesome.
And
it's just huge.
Yeah,
absolutely huge.
And now you know why they call it the Sunset Patio. They have a big, beautiful patio with live music.
That
but
valley,
also
is
just a perfect view of the sunset each and every night over they're up on a bluff, and you just get this great view of a sunset.
And it's High Ridge, Jeff County. It's beautiful people.
Yeah,
it's our people.
It's our people. Yeah, it was
meeting
it was
all
great.
The sponsors was great too. One of them turned out to be my neighbor right down the street, and meeting Larry Romano. It was just thanks, Joe and Jeff, for sure, putting that on.
Certainly, and thank everybody for all the support this week and over the last couple of years. All right, let's dive into the show. Mark, I want to start with there's a couple of interesting issues in the news, actually, that I want to get to in a minute. But first, what's the latest out at Bluff City, and what are you hearing from the guides that are out on the river and the customers about what's happening on the water and outside? Yeah, still going strong?
Fishing's still strong. White bass are really turning on all over the place. That's kind of normal for this time of year. The catfish bite's going strong again. They're done spawning, so that's all picking up. And on the archery side of the house, people are starting to come in, drop bows off for strings and tuning. And so that's starting to pick up. So, it's just that time of the year. It's going to be hot next week, so people will need to come indoors and shoot.
That's right. It is going to be very hot next week. Steve Templeton was on Colombo and Katie with us on Friday afternoon, as he is every week, to give us the weekend forecast. And this weekend is okay, but the major St. Louis summer heat is right around the corner.
So it is August
upper
in Missouri,
90s. Exactly. So yeah, late July, August is going to be – it's what to expect, but it's heading our way. So, be prepared. And speaking of the birthday party, Tim Shelsvik from Drury Outdoors, who was with us on the show last week, and we talked about this with him. It's as we get ready to get into August, as Mike just said, we're getting closer and closer to bow season and hunting season and that time. So this really is, Mark, the time to get prepared, drop your bow off, get all of that ready. Don't wait till the last second, because right now, you got time. You can get it done and take, you know, leave it up there for a few days, a week or whatever it takes. It'll get very crazy as we get closer. Don't put yourself in that situation.
You get it, and then, of course, you want it done right away. And then, you know, well, there's a line now. You know, right now the line is not real long.
Yeah.
So we, you know, get them in. Usually have them turn back around in 3 or 4 days, get the strings in or get them built, and, you know, get the tuning done and have the person come in and shoot some shots.
Exactly. You got to,
you know.
Do they shoot some shots and then fine-tune from there?
If it needs to, Jeff and Seth, they do a pretty good job because we paper
hit it right at
we paper
time.
Tune there, which a lot of shops don't do. So Jeff's huge into the paper tuning. He said that's the only way you can truly see how that arrow's coming off the bow.
Mm-hmm.
And so they'll tune it there. You know, the individual who they have to drop an arrow, one of their arrows off, so that they can tune it like they're shooting it, and go through that. And then when they get there, they you know, shoot some 20-yard shots, and then they usually back them off to 30 yards, make sure it's still shooting good.
Mm-hmm. So, just that little anecdote, that little piece of information there just shows you, like, you know, you drop off your arrow with your equipment, with your bow, because they you guys really do every step the right way to get you fully prepared.
A bow can't leave there if it's not shooting true for that customer.
Yeah.
It has to be.
That's fantastic.
Right.
That's
because
fantastic.
We don't want them going out and, you know, doing a bad shot, you know.
Yeah.
On an animal. So,
yeah.
Sure.
So you want it, you know, that's just part of what we do. That's the
well, you're
a great
doing
service,
it right.
Like,
I mean,
and doing it right.
Because if a customer leaves, it's a small world. If they leave there unhappy or they don't think it's right, word will spread pretty quick, even though it wasn't really
and
your
vice versa.
Fault. Right. Right. And vice versa.
Great experience. Yeah. Spreads. You're exactly right.
100%.
Yep.
100%.
Yep. And not only, as you mentioned, Mark, not only do you get, you need to get, make sure your equipment is tuned up, you need to make sure you're tuned up. And instead of being out in the 100 degree heat, sweating, tune up in the air conditioned.
Tune up in the air conditioning.
In the air conditioned archery range out at Bluff City Outdoors.
And this week we're the only kind of little minor thing that we had with the range is when we first set it up and stuff, you know, we thought we had enough lights up there, but when we got all the Christmas trees and everything around the 3D targets, it kind of dulled it. So as we're speaking right now, we're getting additional lights installed.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Yeah. And not too long ago.
Are you using Mark fluorescent or just?
Yeah, it's LED. It's high bay lights.
Okay.
So we're adding 8 more of them. It's the exact same light. We wanted the exact same light, you know, that was installed. And so we went and tracked down 8 more of them and getting this installed. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, again, a great example of making it right for the customer, because you also not too long ago extended the range, the setup,
bumped
there.
It up from 20 yards to 30 yards.
If you are preparing for archery season, or you just want to have some fun, maybe you've never shot bow and arrow before, you can shoot every day in the archery there at Bluff City Outdoors, about a mile east of Fast Eddie's in Alton. And make sure you also visit Bluff City Outdoors to prepare for your next fishing trip, because they got everything. We will get into the fishing report, so we'll get into some of the minutiae and the details a little bit later on the show, as we always do with the fishing report at the end of the show, Mike. But in general, what are you seeing and hearing out there on the water? Similar stuff to what Mark just said?
Yeah, for me, it's a little bit of a break. This is the first year I've actually fished summer tournaments, so my next one's coming up at Bull Shoals August 26th, 27th. Just like last time, never been there that time of year.
Right.
So, going to go fish that clear water. But the crappie are still good at Lake of the Ozarks from what guys were telling me.
Yeah.
And so are the bass. Of course, the boats are out, so you might want to go Tuesday to Wednesday, Monday to Wednesday.
Right.
But, yeah, the bass fishing still out of sight. There's actually, come over the Merrimack, there's actually water back in there again, so that's a good sign.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I don't haven't. What about the Mississippi there at
all?
So
they're holding the upper pool. It's at summer pool, so it's looking pretty
good
there. And below it, I could tell the Missouri came up a little bit just looking at the wing.
Oh, but it's been low for a long time.
Oh, it's been low forever. A
couple of years at least.
A couple of years, yep.
Like way low.
It's a good time to take pictures when it's like that. To see where all those wings
are.
See where all the structures
are. Yeah, it's funny
how
long this drought or these conditions, these low-level conditions have existed, because when it first started a year or two ago, Mark, you know, we were on here on this show talking about how wild it was to see the bottom of the river, like see parts of the riverbed that you would have
never seen before.
Yep.
And now it's common. Now, like, it's been that way for a while. It's like now that's the normal. What was like shocking before is now the norm.
Yep.
How long has this been going on?
Just to think of the thought of like the 93 flood, just visualize that
compared to how much water there was.
You know, I grew up where I spent most of my young life in Alton. You stop and think about it, like in the history of the world, the bluffs in Alton, that was the top bank of the Mississippi at some point.
So you look
that way, it goes a long way before it finds the other side of the bank, right?
Yeah.
I always think that when I'm driving down the river road.
That's a great point.
Because that's how that was carved, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so that's pretty crazy.
You're exactly right. You know, I know we've touched on this before, but I don't know if we've ever told the whole story, and I don't want to force you into like a big long story here, Mark. But in '93 and some of those other floods, did it get all the way to the shop? Did the water, or how close the shop sits
in a high part of that part of town.
Gotcha.
Because the steel mill's close, right?
The steel mill's
out
in front.
So they would have never wanted it to get up to that. So.
But they always get water on the other end down there by the casino.
By the mill.
Yeah, down by the mill. But that part of Alton's kind of high.
Yeah.
Rodney, the previous owner, had told me that just down the road a little bit, there was a culvert that was backed up and had Broadway covered there. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, down by Wood River Creek, they had the.
I got pictures of me standing with my two Dobermans and my oldest boy, who's now 27, in a backpack, looking at the water at Wood River Creek, and it was all across that intersection there where Piasaw Armory is now.
Yep.
And it used to be a car dealer, I think, back in the day.
Yeah, used to be a Nissan dealer. Mm-hmm.
And it was crazy because once the river backs up, all the creeks are backing up too.
Yes, they got
Piasaw Creek. I mean, you could have ran dang near to Jerseyville on Piasaw Creek back then.
Yeah. Yeah. So. It's wild. It's like we've gone through a couple of years now talking about how low the rivers are, and it seemed like there was a period of time for about 10 years, maybe.
Talked about how high they were.
It was like every
time.
Couple of years there was a 500-year flood.
Yep.
It's like there was flooding on a regular basis seemingly every year.
Nature gonna nature.
Yeah. And now we're in a totally different situation. Wanted to bring this up, and this story was making national headlines, and it doesn't impact us directly, but it is an interesting conversation that happens on bodies of water all throughout the area. I don't know if you guys saw, there's a big speed limit debate happening on the East Coast and the Gulf of Mexico. There's
the Atlantic and the Gulf.
Yeah, there's areas that are instituting speed limits throughout the East Coast and in the Gulf of Mexico, and there's boaters and there's industry folks that are up in arms about this.
What's the logic behind wanting to implement?
It's for one of those couple of those whale species.
There's environmental issues like the whales, and then there's also some traffic issues and safety issues. But yeah, mostly like the whale thing is definitely probably the number one reason. But reading that bring up a lot of discussions that I've had at Lake of the Ozarks and other bodies of water nearby about speed limits and what's too much and what's, you know, the size of vessels and things like that. And especially Lake of the Ozarks, where you're at a lot, Mike, but this happens in other places too. What do you think about that? What do you think about that type of regulation? Should there be speed limits? Should there be size limits on lakes like the Ozarks and other?
I'd like to see a size limit on Lake of the Ozarks.
Yeah.
The speed limit thing, the problem I always have with that is who's going to police it?
Right. And they do have one at night, right? I think there's a speed limit on the lake after the sun goes down.
I think it's 30.
30 miles an hour. Yeah. That's been always
been
my
too
understanding.
Much. Yeah. In my opinion, for those big boats.
If you're going 30 miles an hour in the dark.
Yeah. And half those big boats, most of them, I mean, there's a lot of people running around that don't have GPS.
Yeah.
Now, I know that's not radar, but it's a big help.
Yeah.
Because you know as well as I do down there. At night, with all the lights on the docks, it's kind of confusing.
Mm-hmm.
You can get turned around,
especially a lot of people renting boats or going down that only drive boats once or twice a year.
Right. And like my boat is so nimble. You're in a big boat. It's not nimble. It doesn't stop quickly. There's no brakes.
Mm-hmm.
So you got that big old hunk of fiberglass moving.
I feel like the conversation about speed limits or size has been raging at the Lake of the Ozarks for years. Does that happen? Is that conversation something that happens on the rivers, Mark?
You don't hear about it too much up there.
Very much of that?
Oh, man. if you're going fast on that river at night, you're just nuts. I mean, basically. Yeah. You know,
well, even during the day.
I think
at least where we're at with the Mississippi River, I don't think it's, you know, it's not as congested as parts of the Lake of the Ozarks.
You
get out on that main channel on a summer weekend, you know, and there.
I always think about this, Tony. It's so crowded, right? Then you pull into a cove and there's 3,000 boats in that cove. What if everybody decided to go?
Right. So, just in general, do you think there should be speed limits on these on?
I don't think so
water?
On the ocean that they're talking about. No, that seems ridiculous. No, but Lake of the Ozarks, I would like to see it go, but they'll never do it, to idle only at night.
Yeah.
Over a certain length of vessel.
Well, the cat's out of the bag. Pandora's box is open at Lake of the Ozarks.
Right. You can't.
You can't put it. You can't put a size limit on a lake that already has.
Because those restaurants and bars aren't going to want
that. Houseboats all over the place.
Because people won't idle 9 miles.
Right.
You know,
right,
so.
Right.
I don't know. It's just how do you police it? And
yeah. But as we talk about.
For safety, I think, at night especially.
All the benefits.
Nothing good happens after midnight.
I've heard that before. But, you know, Mark, we've talked about how much the fishing industry and the outdoor industry is growing and has been growing over the last couple of years. And, of course, that's awesome. But as that continues to grow and
there's so many places you can go.
Yeah, if there are more and more boats on the water, I could see this becoming an issue. And it might be a good time to try to get in front of some of that stuff, you know, and maybe put some guidelines in
I wish they'd do it at Table Rock before it gets out of control.
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean, they're doing it by limiting docks. You can't. It's hard, if not impossible, to get a individual dock.
Yeah.
But they're not saying how big that, you know, you can get condo docks and they can build them big. The boats are definitely getting bigger and bigger down there.
Yeah. I may have a different opinion if I didn't have a 19-foot
Ranger.
But I could definitely.
Let's be honest. Most of those people could afford a place on the ocean where that boat belongs.
Where it belongs. What it was built for.
Yeah.
And it's out there.
You can
have
just as much fun in a tri-tune.
Right.
Running around. You don't need something that's got a galley on it that no one ever uses.
Right.
Because they don't ever cook on it.
Right. Yeah.
They go to a restaurant.
They never touch it.
Yeah.
I knew a guy once that had one of those, had a beautiful big boat that had the living room and a bedroom and a bathroom, and nobody was allowed to use the bathroom. It was off limits. It was like, well, why did you buy a boat with a bathroom? Like, that's
because he doesn't want to have to go empty it.
I get it, but why spend the money to buy a boat with a bathroom?
Not going to use it.
Couldn't you have used the money in a different
way? Right.
Like, it just seems like
that's the biggest percentage of the people there too.
Yeah,
it really is.
Yeah.
And my buddy Greg, his was called the Lipstick Jungle because he's got all girls, so he has to have a bathroom on his boat, and he uses his bathroom. But I don't understand it. I really don't. But that being said, Greg never slept on his boat. When we started team fishing together, he said he's never spent the night on that boat.
Wow.
And it's like, why? He's like, well, because I got a house right here. Yeah. But I'm like, well,
the
first tournament we win together, we need to go anchor this thing and drink and howl at the moon and spend the night on it. But he didn't do it. We went back. It's a lot of work to get that big boat out just to go have a couple of drinks and howl at the moon. But
yeah. Yeah.
I just think the cat's out of the bag at Lake of the Ozarks is never going to happen, but you can stop it at other places.
When I saw this story, when I read this headline this week, it just
Was it going to be areas, Tony? Was it going to be like buoyed areas you had to slow down because
of the
whales?
I think it was a certain amount of miles off the coast.
Yep.
It's
a big area.
Yeah.
I mean, because I was reading where they were interviewing a guy down there on his first charter. She'd go, this is going to kill us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have to make a long run.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your 6 hour fishing trip just turned into now we're only going to get 2 hours of fishing versus four.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's going to have major impact.
So it was from the shore out to a certain distance.
Yes.
It was going to be a really reduced speed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was really reduced. I forgot what it was.
10
it
knots
was,
maybe.
Yeah, it was
I think
slow.
It was, yeah. I can't remember. Again, it's
been a long time since I took my captain's license. I don't know what a knot is per mile.
Yeah, when I read the headline, it just really brought home that this conversation that's currently happening on the ocean that's not going to directly affect us here it's only a matter of time before it is here.
Right.
If the industry continues to grow and there are more and more boats and these bodies of water,
let's push towards building more lakes. That's what I'm thinking.
Amen. Yeah. I just think
dam up some more rivers. You
I think
about,
it's something that's
I mean,
gonna,
renewable
that's,
energy.
When's the last time that was done?
Whew.
Oh,
Mark Twain. I mean, around here.
Great question.
'50s,
60s? Yeah. I mean, it's been a long time.
When did the Lake of the Ozarks open, Tony? Do you know?
Oh,
was it 60s? Like late 60s?
Yeah, something.
Started in the 50s?
Mm-hmm.
All them White River chain lakes was like in the 50s when they started, right?
Yeah, so I think that's right. You know, and you think about
it's
it.
It's like unheard of today.
That isn't, they're not creating those anymore.
No, right? They haven't in forever. Mm-hmm. I don't think you could afford to now. Yeah. I mean, buying out the land to make it happen would be just, I guess you could eminent domain it or whatever, but
yeah. Yeah.
You're still going to have to buy a few people out there.
I don't see it happening, though. I don't see that being
but
the way the government operates.
They all generate power for the most part on the White River chain and the Osage. I mean,
it, well, it's, you know, I mean, when you get down to it, that's actually very clean power.
Very it is.
Clean power.
I mean, it's very green.
It's very green. You got the upfront cost of the damage.
And then that's, you know, maintaining the turbines and such.
You know, but then everywhere you go where there's power generation, there you got the side effect of the recreational business. Yeah. I mean, it's all there.
Yeah.
You know.
Yep. Then people come and build houses and build docks and buy boats and,
you know,
buy fishing tackle. And, yeah. On down the line.
Yep.
Sell t-shirts and trinkets like the old strip at the lake.
Yeah. Exactly.
Which I'm glad. Have you been up there in a while? It's really taken off again.
I haven't been down to that part in a while.
Oh, it's really cool. But, it's kind of back to where it was when we were kids. You know, kind of died off for a while.
Yeah.
But now it's like the cool kind of place to be.
Yeah.
Which I'm glad to see with the new highway going through that didn't crush that.
Skee-ball, batting cages, and go-karts.
That's right. That's what I remember that name.
As far as the eye can see. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Flip-flops and T-shirts.
No, I think that's one of the many issues that you don't usually think about or foresee when it comes to the great outdoors. When we talk about these types of activities, that is going to be something that is going to be discussed at a high level and going to be something that we have to deal with very soon, and for very good reasons as the industry continues to grow. So I thought it was an interesting story and wanted to get your guys' thoughts on that. You're listening to the Bluff City Outdoors Show. Lots to talk about this afternoon. We will talk about some more of the experiences happening out on the water right now with Mike Marfell, professional fisherman who's in the studio with us. We'll get the fishing report to you here in just a little bit. And so don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Bluff City Outdoors Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk. Sitting here, sitting hooks in the
setting sun. This is the Bluff City Outdoors Show on News Talk STL.
Welcome to the drop zone. Got you in the crosshairs. Once I pull this trigger, they're going to haul you out of here. Hunting is a lifestyle, survival of the fittest.
Welcome back to the Bluff City Outdoors Show on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. I want to remind you that you can, of course, hear this show every weekend here on News Talk STL. You can hear us on Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. and Sundays at noon. But you can also listen to this show anytime if you are subscribed to our podcast. You can subscribe to the Bluff City Outdoors Show podcast on basically every podcast platform there is, so you never have to miss the show or the fishing report. We know a lot of guys do take us with them out on the water, especially for the fishing report, to help them out. So make sure you're subscribed to the Bluff City Outdoors Show podcast on your favorite podcast platform. You can also get it every week on the Bluff City Outdoors Show, or the Bluff City Outdoors Facebook page. You can get our podcast there. And speaking of great outdoor activities this time of year, don't forget next time you're grilling to have a bag of Rockwood Lump Charcoal alongside. Rockwood Lump Charcoal, great small local business, but also a tremendous product. They have been ranked the number one consumer rated charcoal in the country 9 years running, and it's just a superior product across the board, especially when you put it up against the traditional briquettes that you may be used to grilling with. Rockwood burns so much hotter and faster and gives you more control. You don't need nearly as much of it, so that 20-pound bag goes a long way with Rockwood Lump Charcoal. So they're a great sponsor of this show and this radio station. And on our birthday week here, after 2 years of News Talk STL, definitely one of the great members of our family. And next time you are out there grilling, make sure you have a bag of Rockwood Lump Charcoal with you. I'm Tony Colombo in studio with producer Leah, and professional fisherman Mike Marfell is with us. And,
hello,
of course, my partner and co-host Mark McMurray, the owner of Bluff City Outdoors. And, Mike, we were just talking a little bit in that last segment about the current atmosphere out there. This is you've been saying in your part of the fishing report each and every week. Of course, we'll have that fishing report for you coming up here in just a few minutes. But you've been saying over and over, and a lot of the guys have, Mark, about the summer pattern. We're in full-blown summer pattern.
It's the most predictable once it locks
yep.
in.
How,
for catfish, for crappie, for everything, right, Mark?
It's pretty much... Yeah.
Yep, once it locks, once you get past that spawn far enough, it locks until...
That's my cool. So that's my...
Till the water starts dropping, in my opinion, until the... What do I always say? Until the night temperatures start getting lower than the surface temperatures.
I'm going to have to...
And that's when it starts to make
I'm
going to
steal that quote. What do I always... What do I always say?
Yeah, well, I'm not getting any younger, Tony. Somebody's got to remind me.
I've got a great theory about this. Let me remember what it is.
Yeah.
But that was going to be my question. How long can we expect this pattern to hold? How long in your, like, how long do we have? You know, we've been talking about how fast the year is passing. Yeah.
Somewhere in September, second, third week, just depends on the year.
Yeah.
But my measuring stick is that when the night temperatures start getting below the surface temperature, the shad start to kind of react to that, and then they start moving shallow, and everything that eats them follows them.
Mm-hmm. Is it better fishing conditions after the summer pattern's over, or is it just different?
It's hard. They scatter. It's until it locks.
So it's better
until it gets deep into the fall pattern, the very beginning of the transition, because there's some still doing summer stuff and some starting to transition, at least in bass world, and they get scattered. It's one of the, if you're a tournament fisherman or just a recreational fisherman that time of year and you're chasing bass, you got to keep moving because the fish are scattered.
Right, right.
You're not going to lock in like you do here and catch 10 fish out of a brush pile.
Yeah. You got a better chance right now.
To be confined and bunched up.
Yeah.
And then I always say that the winter is similar to the summer. They bunch back up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's different. It's catfish same way.
Same way with catfish.
Catfish, crappie.
They just got whiskers. They got to eat too. Yeah. I mean, it's the same concept.
Yeah. And that makes sense because, Mark, what do we have? Do we have two confirmed 100-plus pounders in the area?
Two that have been confirmed recently. Yeah, the last two or three
Your
weeks.
Your guides?
This year. So that's and it seems like those – that always happens in the summer. We've seen that a lot recently. We've seen in recent years 100-plus pound catfish caught in the area, but it's always in the summertime.
It's usually in the summer, even though I think the 1 year Wade's was kind of like
was it late?
Kaminsky's was in the mid October.
Okay, gotcha. But the majority of them seem to have come in the summertime, which I guess is a sign.
Yeah. Well, one is I think part of it's because people will go out and hit them at night when they're really actively feeding, so they take advantage of the fact that they feed so hard at night and are so active. I think
I was just wondering, because you'd think the spawn, when they're full of eggs, they'd will weigh the most, but do they feed up and get heavier than their spawning weights?
I don't know if they get heavier, but they just keep on,
keep on packing it on.
I know, and we've talked about this on previous shows. I know that in the catfish community, and correct me if I'm wrong in anything that I say here, Mark, that, a guide or a pro, they may find that big fish, that 100-pound fish, and they'll track that specific fish to try to catch it for a while.
Yeah, they'll try to figure out where it's hanging.
Yeah.
And they'll go out there and they'll try to catch it.
Yeah. So I'm not saying that's what everybody does or a regular thing, but that exists in catfishing. Does that exist in bass fishing?
It does with the forward-facing sonar. Guys will chase one.
Have you ever, but I mean, like, for weeks, have you ever chased one fish?
I have never done it. But some of those big trophy hunters out in California that are trying to break a world record,
they'll identify that they think there's a world record in this body of water, and they'll chase that one fish.
Yep. Yep.
That's pretty cool.
And the one that there was one, I think, in a... oh my gosh, what lake was it? Was it in San Diego? It might have been Mission Viejo. They caught the same one twice, like 2 years or 3 years apart. And of course, it was like 2.5, 3 pounds, 4 pounds bigger, whatever it was.
Right, right.
And there was a story where a guy would he would put a mannequin on the bank so it would cast that, so it was there all the time. And then that's where he would come to stand to fish. He would replace the mannequin because he was sight fishing for this fish and he didn't want it to be spooked.
Right.
Because they're pretty smart when they get to be. It was like a 20-pounder, 19, 20-pound bass. They were going, state record.
He didn't
want
to change anything about the atmosphere.
Right.
And
I think he was the night before or hours before, he would lay his bait on the bank on the other side, bring the rod around so he didn't have to cast, and he would just drag it into the water real slow so he didn't spook it at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a lot of patience for fishing, but chase one fish? No. I might. I could see going to Lake Fork, Texas, and just trying to catch a big one, not a particular one.
If you knew a world record was in the body of water, would that
That would change
your
my
mind?
Tune, probably. But yeah, it's harder. It could be done for bass, especially now with the forward-facing sonar, I think. But yeah, I could see fishing with nothing but baits to try to catch a big one, not necessarily a specific fish. It's like fishing the big bass. You're not there to catch little ones. Yeah. A lot of guys will go there and throw 8 and 10 inch glide baits all day long.
One big bite.
One big bite's all you're looking for.
Would you rather be a successful but middle of the road Bassmaster level tournament guy making a great living fishing, or never reach that level but be the world record holder for a large
The Bassmaster guy for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, anybody get lucky and catch that one big fish. You can make a living out there fishing with those boys. You're good.
What about you, Mark? Would you rather be the...
I'd probably just want to catch the one big fish.
I think I would too.
I
think I want to be the world record holder. I think I want the...
Like, I mean, to me, it's...
the fame.
It's comparable to the guys that would rather win the Bassmaster Classic versus winning Angler of the Year. In my opinion, it's harder to win Angler of the Year than it is one tournament at the Classic. Yeah. Now, granted, you have to be good enough to qualify for the Classic, but, you know, a whole season of fishing four-day tournaments and being the best at that in that particular, to me, is a bigger feather in your cap than winning the Bassmaster Classic.
But the
Bassmaster Classic pays better.
And gets more attention.
More hype. Kevin Van Dam's recognized for both. Sure. That's what's impressive.
Sure.
But you're more recognized from the Classic than Angler of the Year because it doesn't get the hype.
Yeah, yeah. Like, my daughter's a gymnast. Like, it would be, you know, winning the gold medal at the World Championships. You're competing against the same people and the same everything that you compete against in the Olympics.
Right.
But what, you know, they would all say that they'd rather have the Olympic gold medal than they would a World Championships gold medal, even though it's exactly the same. Or in you know, level of prestige.
Well, part of my answer to that, rather be on the Bassmaster, it's because, come on, man. You get a fish for a living.
I know.
You could be a radio host and be the world record holder, and you still have to be a radio host.
Let me just say something. I would milk, if I was the worst fisherman in the world, like, it would be embarrassing for somebody to actually see me fish. But I, for whatever reason, just...
Hello, Tony. My name's Mike Marfil. I'm the world record holder.
Caught lightning in a bottle and caught the world record largemouth bass. My face would be everywhere. I'd have a signature rod.
I'd even change your name legally.
What do you want me to sponsor?
That's true. I mean, you could definitely do that.
I would be everywhere. Yeah. My face would be, at the end of the aisle display.
Yeah, you might be changing my mind now. You might be changing my mind because the middle of the road guy, nobody even knows who that is.
Somehow I even see him, you know, saying, well, what did I catch it on? Exactly. We got to put that out to bids first.
Yeah, right, yeah. Right. What did I catch it on?
Yeah, right.
We'll let you know here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, this is the buzz bait I caught the world record on. Wait, I thought you caught it on a crankbait.
Yeah, that was hearsay.
Otherwise.
My memory's a little fuzzy. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Who would the highest bidder be, Mark, you think, if something like that go down? Man, Rapala's pretty huge.
Rapala's huge. So is Strike King.
Yeah, and they've been gobbled up. They we'll give it to Joey from Crocker Gator. Let her step in there.
Mm, yeah, yeah.
Megabass might be able to swing that, too. They make a...
They're pretty big too.
And their stuff, you don't buy any $4 Megabass stuff.
No, no.
Yep.
Steve brought you a little Megabass, didn't he, because you lost
one?
He did.
Yeah, he did.
Back to the equipment thing when you're talking about with the bows getting everything right.
Yeah.
I was talking to Steve last night, and he was like,
Steve from Great Harvest Bread Company.
Great Harvest Bread Company.
Who's another great supporter of the station and advertiser, but
And we're going to get a fish because he's there the same week that I'm be fishing, getting ready for the Solo Pro.
Yeah.
So I'm going to...
He's a fishing maniac. We've actually interviewed him on the show a couple times about fishing, and he's a baker.
Yeah.
But
you came back by and said, intense. You guys are still right here.
Dude, Steve was like,
we're still talking fishing.
Yeah, he's great. So
he was talking... I asked him about how good he is at skipping at Lake of the Ozarks. Mm-hmm. He goes, I can only skip with a spinning rod. I skip a tube or a Senko. I said, you can't do a bait caster? And he was like, no, I just, you know, I keep getting big bird's nests, this, that, and the other, and it's all about the equipment.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have the right rod with the right tip on the, you know, the right amount of tip to the rod. And now Lou's has got that skipping reel. It's got a super shallow spool. I think it only holds like 40 yards of 20-pound test.
Yeah.
So it's not going to backlash. There's no line to really, and if it does, you can usually get it out pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
And then just practice. If you can skip, I told him, if you can skip a rock, you can skip a bait cast.
Mm-hmm.
You just got to get the right setup. So hopefully we'll get a day that he can go out and I can let him use one of mine. I can get him going on that. And I didn't learn overnight. I went and set my power poles down at the Alt Marina with no intention of catching a fish, just skipping under the same dock for hours, listening to the Cardinal game. Just keep doing it, keep doing it, keep doing it.
Practice,
Mark,
practice.
That's an interesting, you brought up an interesting point. What is, if there is one right now, considered to be like the most professional? Like I have always heard arguments between guys who, you know, an open spinner versus a bait caster, you know, which one's a better, what in the industry, is there one or the other that's either more popular or considered to be like the top level?
So it really depends on your app, what you're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it comes down to.
Right.
I know, like if you're there's a lot of catfish guys here fishing from the bank, they're almost all buying big spinning stuff.
Yeah.
It's just they can throw that better.
Throw it farther.
And they can throw it farther. And they less things can go wrong. You know, but your world record casts are done with bait casters.
Yeah.
So.
And guys in boats because they want the power.
Well, the world record, just looking, there was a guy with a carp rod over in Europe. He cast, it is 267 yards.
Jeez.
And then that's not the world record. That was. They were just showing that
right.
The world record's around. It's almost 300 yards, and it
that's
was done.
Insane. Well, how much?
I've never seen a human being glitch.
Yeah, I don't know what
until that right there.
Throwing, but you know, they're using them long, 12, 13
yeah.
foot
well,
rods.
That's true.
I do remember it was an Omoto reel because I was talking to the guys from Omoto last summer a little bit.
Yeah,
and they said, "Yeah, we."
That's
hit.
A good claim.
That's
to fame.
Pretty.
It is a claim to fame.
That's
you
incredible.
Know?
That's
was
incredible.
It a running like Happy Gilmore style start? Had
it's kind of that cast. Yes, they're. I mean, they're coming up and they got
like
it
a crow's
back.
Hop from the
I
center
got
field.
It, yeah, yeah.
But I mean, the way that rod is just whipped back before he's bringing it forward is just phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah.
And, the that's, flex in the rods, and,
right?
You know, they're built to cast long distances, and I know one of the companies is called Breakaway Rod.
It's kind of like the long drive guys that got
it is,
crazy
yeah.
long
right.
drivers. Yeah.
Yeah. We got to get to the fishing report, but Mike, what do you see more of in the upper level tournaments? Guys with bait casters or the open?
I would say it's 70% bait casters and 30% spinning.
Yeah.
And it's all comes down to your technique. And if you're a finesse guy, you're going to have more spinning rods than you are bait casters. My boat has exactly zero spinning rods.
Yeah.
I just grew up. I'm not.
That's, yeah.
I down when I'm finessing, I downsize to 18-pound test.
Yeah.
I'm fishing for five.
Yeah.
And I don't really.
It always
it's
boils
my
down
confidence,
to.
It's my confidence thing. I don't.
And it always boils down to two things. And you just mentioned one of them, Mark. It depends on what you're doing. And then also what you're comfortable with.
I'll drop shot
seems
with a
like
bait
that solves just about every.
Yep.
Debate
you know,
when it comes to gear, equipment, lures,
what
whatever it is.
Yeah.
What are
it's
you doing
and
what are you confident with? What
yep.
are you comfortable
and
with?
And I don't throw a lot of light line. If you're starting to throw light line, you got to go to a spinning rod.
Yep.
Because you need the limpy fairy wand to absorb all the shock.
The limpy?
You know, you got to have the limp fairy wand to absorb the shock because you only got 8-pound test.
Right. Yep. No. So. Yep. Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, that seems
we don't
to always
have
the be
video
the
answer.
Was I know. Yeah. You should have seen the physical representation of the limpy wand. All right, we have got to get you that fishing report. We will bring that to you in just a moment. So don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Bluff City Outdoors Show here on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk.
You're listening to the Bluff City Outdoors Show on News Talk STL.
Well, it's freezing. The first day of the season.
Welcome back to the Bluff City Outdoor Show here on 101.9 and 94.1 News Talk STL. Tony Colombo, producer Leah, Mike Marfell, and Mark McMurray all in studio here with you this week. And we went a little long with a couple of our conversations there, so let's dive right in to this week's fishing report. Mark, take it away.
Let's get it going. Go to Truman Lake with Jordan Lear. Crappie are good. Fish 10 to 25 feet of water, 6 to 15 feet down. Fish to standard timber on the main lake flats and brush piles. Jigs and minnows are both working. Trolling Bandit 300 crankbaits and number 7 flicker shads are also working well on the main lake flats. Catfish are good, drift in the main lake flats and humps, 10 to 18 feet with fresh shad or live or cut. Bass, good, fish the main lake points in the brush piles, half-ounce football jigs around the brush piles, 8 to 20 feet deep. Square bill crankbaits, 10-inch plastic worms, Texas rig brush hogs. Topwater baits working early and late, spooks, whopper ploppers, and buzzbaits. Walleye fare, fish the main lake humps and points, crawler harnesses, and trolling crankbaits working on the shallow flats. Throwing a 3-inch pearl and chartreuse slider on a quarter-ounce head is working on the humps. White bass and hybrids, fare, fish the main lake humps and flats with live shad on a Carolina rig, 7 to 18 feet of water. Rattle traps are also working. Topwater bite has been decent early and late. Czar spooks, casting Charlie Brewer's 3-inch sliders with a quarter-ounce jig head on the flats and humps are also working well. Pearl and chartreuse color. Run up to Mark Twain with Jason Kaiser, Mark Twain Fishing Intel. Water temp is 81 to 83 and clear. Lake level is 602, with 606 being normal pull, so 4 feet down. Bass bite is hit and miss right now, 10-inch worms, and then also shaky heads with trick worms seem to be working best. Target the pole timber and the main lake points for the best chance to get a bite. Work the bait slow. You can pick up one or two good fish doing this, but hard to find five keepers right now. Have to keep moving. Crappie, you have to catch a lot of crappie on brush pile and pole timber on the points and on the bluff walls. Same as last week, the bigger 9 to 11-inch crappie are hard to find right now. You have to catch a lot of crappie, but they will be small in that 6 to 8-inch range. Minnows and plastics are both working well. Catfish, rod and reel on the mud flats, cut shad is the bait of choice. And at the Carlisle with Eric Morey, Carlisle Lake is 445.23 and stable. The water temp's 83 and moderate water clarity. White bass has been good trolling crankbaits on the flats. Crappie bite is still tough. Some nice fish are being caught on the small profile hair jigs and shad colors. Catfish are biting well on the flats along the river channel edges on cut bait. Wren, Fred Mooney, lake's dropping a little bit, currently at 406.3. Crappie bite is excellent. Fish the attractors, the ledges, timber are all producing well. Orange and chartreuse or white and chartreuse seem to be the hot colors. Catfish bite is good on assorted baits. Local rivers and lakes, Eric Morey. Bass bite's good. The summer pattern's in full swing, and they are feeding aggressively on a variety of baits. Crappie are moving out a little deeper in the water and schooling. The bigger ones are being caught in the more isolated structures. Post-spawn catfishing on the river is good right now with the blues feeding aggressively. Big River Catfishing, Jason Schneiderhahn, who's down in Florida catching sharks.
Yeah
baby.
We are going to get him on to tell. Wait to hear.
Better bring us some steaks.
Wait to hear those stories.
Had some great pictures. So the water's low, 1.6 on the St. Louis gauge. Water temp's 82. Some good blues caught this week, several over 70 pounds. Starting to see the males still off their beds. Channel cats are hitting Catfish Charlies, Triple S, and Cut Bait. Skipjack fishing has slowed down a little bit. You can still find them with Sabiki rigs are working well. And Southern Illinois Lakes with Gabe Montgomery. Egypt temps, in the mid-80s, the creeks are blown out with the recent rain. Lots of floating debris. Keep an eye out for the logs when you're running. Kincaid, mid-80s. The back half of the lake is heavily stained with the influx of water from Johnson Creek. Crab Orchard, mid-80s, 1 to 3 feet of visibility. Even though the water has risen a foot or so, the local lakes, the bass have a tendency to stay put. Bass that is living in 20 feet of water may not know that the lake level rose. If the bass is everything it needs, it will not move shallow. Mm. Having said that, shallow, freshly flooded to cover is always worth a try. So that's it.
And Mike?
We talked about it earlier, full-on summer pattern, so you're talking deep brush, and I prefer 15 to 25 foot, 30 foot, 35 foot, if you can find them out there. Best thing to use, in my opinion, is a big swim bait, 10-inch worm, or a big jig. And this is the tip for the week here.
Mm-hmm.
Get you some super glue and put that big worm on a 1-ounce jig. Just do them both at the same time. I mean, if you're looking to catch a big one, that's the way to do it. A big
Mark,
one
how many
jig.
How many over the years, how many homemade contraptions have you seen? People tying trailer hooks onto something or gluing a skirt
on. My buddy Dave Holmes running tinsel through the gills of flukes. So it's got... talking about, Mark?
Yeah. Some flash.
So a little flash. When you let it set still, it's still moving kind of thing. Soft jerk bait. So, But that, I'm telling you, man, I ran out of jig heads fishing a 10-inch shaky head one time and 15 minutes left to go in the tournament, and I didn't want to take the time. I didn't want to tie one on. I just ripped the trailer off the back of the jig and glued a 10-inch worm on and threw out there and caught a 6-pounder, cold one, and boogied. And
How do you glue something that's going to hold in the water in 1 minute?
Super glue will hold like that.
No kidding.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you ever stuck your fingers together.
Well, I don't know that I would trust it in the water, but.
No, if you put that on there, it's dry quickly.
It'll be dry. So. That's great.
So, yeah. And then, as always, it's Lake of the Ozarks. So be safe, be kind, wear that life jacket and kill switch.
Yep. What, does one stand out? The craziest contraption you've ever seen? Like homemade?
Probably the one I made to prove a point.
Oh, let's hear. Oh,
beer can?
Spent shotgun shell and a treble hook. Made a popper.
Well,
said I can catch bass on a spent shotgun shell.
You can't say something like that when we only have 1 minute left in the show.
I'm just saying.
That's a segment for next week's show.
If that's not packaged and sold at Bluff City, it'll be a shame.
And I love the. Did you hear
Winchester
the tone of his
or
voice?
Federal?
Did you hear the tone of the voice when he said the one I made to prove a point?
Yeah, I want to hear this story sometime.
there's a story.
Yeah, it's right after I bought the shop. I was just arguing with the bass guys down there. They're going, man, you got to have this mega bass.
Right.
That dude.
It's where
bass
you're at.
Wants to eat.
It's where you're at.
He'll eat anything. Great. I said, I go catch one on a spent shotgun shell. They go, no, you can't. I go, yes, I can.
That's great.
Just to prove a point.
So, oh, I can't. We definitely.
It was funny. And it worked. I did catch one.
Well, that's awesome. Would say if bass grew to be 60 pounds, it wouldn't be safe to jump in the water.
No.
They'd try to eat you.
They'd try to eat you.
Absolutely. Almost out of time. I want to remind folks to keep up with everything that's happening out at Bluff City Outdoors in Alton. About a mile east of Fast Eddie's there in Alton. Great time to go out and prep for archery season. Drop your bow off, drop all your equipment off, and get prepared for the archery season. You can shoot in the archery range there at Bluff City Outdoors every single day. And, of course, they've got everything you need for your next fishing trip out on the water. Bluff City Outdoors on Facebook, BluffCityOutdoors.com, and, of course, the Bluff City Outdoors Show podcast. If you missed anything from today's show or just want to make sure you never miss anything that happens here, you can get the podcast on the Bluff City Facebook page or just about any other podcast platform out there. And for Mike, you can keep up with a lot of the things that he's doing with Gabe Montgomery, the 10
That's
Horse
right.
Monty, on the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel.
Yep.
Make sure you are subscribed.
Mostly Gabe this time of year because we're not fishing together until the fall.
Yeah, but still great.
Straight contact. And there's a bunch
content.
There's vintage me out there.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, so when you're binge watching, you'll see a lot of Mike there on the 10 Horse Monty YouTube channel. Make sure you are checking that out as well. We'll be back with you next week. Thank you so much for being here and a part of Bluff City Outdoor Show on 101.9 News Talk STL.
When that 12-gauge choir sings out a holy song, will somebody say amen? Let's give them a bag of water baptism.